me. Lord God, we thank you for this day, God. This day is a gift, Lord. Lord, your word says that today is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so, God, we rejoice that we get to come together today, that we get to hear your word today, that we get to worship today, oh God. And so, Lord, as we've been saying these past few weeks, we say it again. Would you come, Holy Spirit? Would you fill the children's rooms, oh God? Would you fill the youth room, Lord? Would you fill this sanctuary right here, Lord? Lead us and guide us, oh Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Michael. I am one of the pastors here, and I get the privilege to be able to serve alongside some amazing guys and be involved in all sorts of different things about the ministry. Someone's really excited about Children's Church today. And so, when we're looking at the past few weeks, we've been saying, come Holy Spirit. As a church, we've been wondering, what would it look like if the Holy Spirit were to fill each and every one of us? How would our lives be different? And if you go throughout, if you see TV, if you read books, stuff like that, there's all kinds of different metaphors about life. You know, some say life is like climbing a mountain. Some say life is like a game, like a baseball game. Some say life is like a box of chocolates, whatever the case may be. But what I think is a really good illustration about life is that it's like a bus. It's like a ride on a bus. And think about this with me. As a bus is going down the road, there's lots of twists and turns. There's lots of bouncing up and down, right? You're never really quite sure what that smell behind you is. And you really don't want to know either. But on a bus, there's different seats. If you sit towards the front, you've got a great view of what's coming ahead. There are going to be lots of people coming by. You're going to be interacting with lots of folks. If you sit in the back, you might have more room to stretch out, more room to just kind of spread your wings here. But you're going to feel each and every one of those bumps in the road. And then if you are the driver, God be with you. You're just trying to get the bus to where it needs to go. Especially a school bus driver. That's a whole other story right there. But there's an author named Jim Collins, and he really taught this idea about finding the right seat on the bus. And what that means is this. You know, say, for instance, you started a dieting program. I'm starting mine tomorrow. And as you're going through there, if you don't have much success, instead of saying, well, you know what, there's just no point in trying, maybe you just need a different dieting plan or a different regimen. Or maybe if you've tried teaching within the church, maybe you've tried teaching preschool once, and it just didn't go well for you. You know, the noise, the ruckus, the always wondering why this is so sticky. Maybe this didn't work within you. That doesn't mean you give up teaching or give up serving. It means maybe I just need a different age group. Or has this ever happened? You've worked hard. Maybe you went to college, you got a degree, went through the application process, and you landed what you thought was going to be your dream job. And a little bit into it, you realize this dream, it's more like a nightmare. And that doesn't mean that we're done completely with that whole area. Maybe we just need a different way to exercise our gifts. We always need to be seeking and wondering, where is my seat on this bus? Where is it that the passions I have from God, the gifts that I have from God, where do they match the best with what I can do? Because when that happens, when what you do matches your passions and it matches your gifts, that leads to unspeakable joy in your life. Leads to great effectiveness in whatever it is you're doing. It is an open conduit for God to work through you to reach others. And you know, God has called us, each and every one of us, to great things, to amazing things. But when we're out of sorts, when we feel like we're on the wrong seat, when we feel like what we're given our time to do just doesn't match with what God has given us, you feel stuck. Anybody ever felt stuck in life before? And you know, that's not how Jesus designed us. He did not create us to feel stuck. He did not create us to feel as if every day was going to be a chore. He created us to have life and to have it abundantly. When Jesus walks this earth, he wants us to be able to have all the joy that he had. And he wants us to have that joy every single day. And so how do we get that? If we're in a situation where we feel stuck, where we feel drained, how do we gain joy? And this is what we're going to see today, is that we are joyful when we discover and walk out our God-given callings. You know, the ride on that bus, it's the smoothest when we find the right seat, that seat that was made just for us. Because when what we do, when that matches our passion, when that matches our gifts, when that matches what God has made us for, it is amazing to see the result. And just imagine a whole church full of people walking out their passions in life, walking out what God has gifted them to do in life. There's nothing that could stop that church. But you know what makes it so hard to walk out our passion is there are so many distractions in this world. There's so many things that try to pull us back, make us lose focus on what we're trying to do. And those things aren't bad. They're usually very good, but they're not the best. And this isn't a new phenomenon. The early church had the same struggle. You know, oftentimes you hear people talk about the early church, it's in phrases as, if only we were like the early church, if only we did what they did, then we could experience the power of God. Well, let me tell you, the early church had problems. They had struggles. They had their whole sort of mess there. And they worked through it with the power of the Holy Spirit. They were able to say, come, Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us. And today we're going to see one such problem. You see, as the church was growing, and oh, was the church growing. If you read Acts, you'll see in a single day, 3,000 people joined the church. Talk about a church growth campaign. And that's one day. Other days, many thousands of people joined the church. It got so big in the fact that last week, when we were looking at Acts chapter 5, Luke, he just gave up counting. He said countless people were added to the church. And so the church is exploding in size. And what happens as it gets bigger and bigger and bigger is the administrative burden, it just gets to be too much. You see, the apostles, the leaders, they were not only preaching and teaching, ministering to the people, they were handling all the finances of the church. They were handling all the logistics of the church, where they were going to meet and what time and on and on and on. And they were handling the distribution to the widows and orphans. The church would take those on and care for them. And it just got to be too much. So much to where the apostles could not preach and teach and lead the church well and care for widows as well. And so they had to ask themselves, what are we going to do? Now, many of us are in a very similar spot in life where we feel like I'm so spread thin, I'm doing so many different things, I can't do any of them well. And so we ask God, what are we to do? And let's look and let's see the answers that God has for us right here in his word. If you have your Bibles, go ahead, open them up. We're in Acts chapter 6 today. We're going to start in verse 1. And if you don't have your Bible, it'll appear on the screen here in just a moment. And this is what it says, Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, Now, the Hellenists were the Greek-speaking new converts, and the Hebrews would have been more Arabic-speaking or Hebrew-speaking, but they were Jews that had been raised within the church. A complaint arose by the Hellenists towards the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. Now pause there for just a moment, just as a sidetrack. These names right here, any name in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, some of those get to be very hard to pronounce. And let me encourage you with something. No one knows how to pronounce them. No one does. When you get to a name in the Bible, just pick something and go with it. And when you say it confidently, people think, "Oh, I didn't know you were supposed to say it like that." So be encouraged. No one else knows it either. I just made all that up. But in our text, we have a very common misconception here. You see, some people think that when the apostles said that they could not give up preaching to serve tables, that they were somehow saying that serving tables was less important, or it was a lesser duty. They were above that. That's not the case at all. You see, serving tables, that's just a picture of caring for widows and for orphans. And if you look all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's heart is for the widow. God's heart is for the orphan. He is for those who cannot provide for themselves. He is for those who cannot protect themselves. In fact, many of the harsh judgments we read, especially in the Old Testament prophets, they're put on nations that did not care for the poor. They're put on those who did not take the time to serve tables, as it says right here. And so that's not the case at all, that it's unimportant. In fact, that word "serve tables," it's the same word there is what the apostles used when they refer to the ministry of the word. Serve and ministry, it's the same word. In the Greek, it's actually the verb of where we get the word deacon. And so what the apostles are saying is we are deaconing over here. We need someone else to deacon over there. Because we can't deacon everywhere. It just can't be done. And so they're calling for help. Can I get a deacon? That's kind of how that went down right there. I'm so sorry. I'm not. Now, somebody knows me over here. The apostles, what they had said here, the apostles were the leaders of the church. And they said that they were called to focus on prayer and on the ministry of the word, which basically means preaching and teaching, sharing the word of God with those within the church. And that's what pastors have been called to do throughout all of human history. Every time and place, the leaders of the church are to preach and to teach the word of God. In fact, focusing more on the prayer, there was a 19th century Scottish pastor, Robert Murray M'Cheyne, and he is quoted as saying, "My people's greatest need is my personal holiness." Because as he led a holy life, he was able to lead his people to lead holy lives as well. And so the apostles, the pastors, there's different titles depending on different church traditions. They're called to focus on prayer and ministry of the word. Now, that doesn't mean we neglect everything else. You know, I'm involved in a lot of different ministries here at Centerpoint. And let me say, I am privileged, and I mean that, I am privileged that you would let me minister to you in so many different forms and fashions. But the main call, the main focus is prayer and preaching, prayer and ministry of the word. And so what happens with all the other stuff, all the things that need to be done? Well, if we flip back a little bit to the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, he develops this idea even further. In Ephesians 4, this is what he says in verse 11. He says, "And God gave to the church the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God." And so God calls the leaders of the church to equip the saints. Now, who are the saints? You know, I grew up in a Catholic tradition, and we had St. Thomas and St. Andrew and St. Michael and St. on and on and on. But when Paul says here to equip the saints, well, that's us. You know, if you want to see a room full of saints, just look around. A saint is simply anyone who has had their life radically changed by Jesus. A saint is someone who has come to Jesus and has said, "I've got nothing. You've got everything. And I want some of that." A saint is someone who has come and has been able to say, "Come, Holy Spirit, would you fill my life? Because what you got is what I want." That's a saint. And so when Paul talks about equipping the saints for the works of ministry, he's not talking about the super Christians, whatever those are, or the super spiritual folks. He's talking about everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. And you know, without the work of the saints, this church right here, it wouldn't be able to continue. It wouldn't be open. If the saints didn't come here early and get the hospitality going, get the coffee going, provide a warm and a welcome area for people to come in and worship. If the saints right now weren't teaching children over here or teaching youth over here. If the saints weren't hooking up the microphone and working on the graphics that we see up here. If the saints didn't come here in the middle of the week and vacuum and clean and mow the yard, nothing would get done. It is the saints that continue the work of ministry. That is the high and glorious calling that God has given us. The fact that God, the King of the universe, would want to partner with people, with us, to work out his kingdom, that's amazing, church. Come on. I mean, anything that he wanted done, I mean, let's be honest for a second. He could do it better and quicker without us. Am I right? Is that a fair statement to make? I hope I didn't upset anybody right there. But God chooses to work with his people and through his people to reach others. Come, Holy Spirit. We need more of that. You know, oftentimes we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of these great spiritual movements of people getting saved, people getting baptized, and those are absolutely amazing. The Holy Spirit is all over that. But you better believe the Holy Spirit is in the everyday nitty-gritty activities as well. You know, as the front of your bulletin says, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we can't serve. The Holy Spirit is in that hospitality room. When you come in and you see the great conversations, the great relationships being built, that's not happening apart from the Holy Spirit. Right now, the Holy Spirit is ministering to our children. The older ones who are hearing the message and the wee little ones who are building blocks and stuff. I don't know what they're doing in there. The Holy Spirit's all over that. He is a part of every single part of our life, and nothing is insignificant to him. If you think holding a baby during a church service is insignificant to God, He loves it. Absolutely loves it. And so let me say this, church. I'm speaking for the pastors. I hope that's okay. You can correct me, Ken, if you'd like. We need you. We need the saints. We need those who are willing and able to step out and to serve. We need you. Oh, we need you. And when people step out and serve in a way that matches the passion that God has given them and the gifts that He has given them, oh, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. These seven men that were called out to manage the distribution, to care for the widows, to care for those around them who did not have the means to provide for themselves, you better believe God had gifted them with the ability to carry that out. And they were passionate to do so. You see, when they came forward, they weren't dragging their feet. You know, like sometimes when we ask our kids to do the dishes at the house and the response is, you know, I know where they get that too, because when Kayla tells me to take the trash out, it's It wasn't that at all. See, I see a few people relate to that. I see what's going on here. I'm not the only one, all right? But these seven men were excited. They were passionate. They were on fire to serve the church because they had the Holy Spirit. He even says it. They were full of the Spirit and of wisdom. It says it twice for Stephen. He must have had an extra portion. And if you want to read about Stephen's life and ministry, read the next chapter, and you'll see how full of the Spirit he was. Don't read it now. Read it when you get home. Right now, we're moving forward. And so we see the smoothest ride in life, the path to the most joy is when what we do matches our passions and our gifts. Why is it that we so often miss that? Why is it that we miss our passion, we miss our gifts? Why is it that we take on so many things where it becomes a chore, where it becomes draining? You ever worked in a job where you get up in the morning and you're trying to think of any excuse to not go in? Why is that? Well, one reason I think that we often end up in the wrong seat on that bus, it's simply because there's a lot of seats on that thing. What I mean by that is this. We try to meet each and every need that we see, instead of focusing on the needs that God has created us for, that God has designed us for. And you know, God created us with specific needs in mind. Bye. Toodles. She's precious, absolutely precious. I was hoping she was going to come over here and help me preach this thing. Need all the help I can get. But you see, when we are trying to focus on what God has for us, there are so many things that pull us away. We have so many demands on our time that when someone comes and says, hey, would you be able to fill in the blank? The thought of adding to the schedule, oh, it's overwhelming. You know, it often feels overwhelming because it is. We got so much stuff going on that the ability to give ourselves to one more thing, it's just not happening. Now, as Christians, as believers, as people, we all share a primary call, and that is to worship. The first and most important thing we can ever do with our lives is worship. If we get that right and mess up on everything else, we would still have lived a good life, because God has called us to worship Him. We all have that in common, every single person. Now, outside of that, God calls us to specific things that are different because the whole body needs cared for. Now, if I flip back to Ephesians just a little bit earlier, in Ephesians 2, Paul writes this. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You see, God saves a person. He gives them a new heart. He gives them new desires, new thoughts. He takes all the sin that they had and he gets rid of all of it. And then he's not done yet. He creates good works for that person to do. And if it gets even better than that, he comes alongside and he walks with us as we walk out the path that he has made for us. Church, God has done it all. The Holy Spirit has done it all. All we need to do is come alongside and say, "Where's my seat on this bus? What do I get to do? You know, put me in, coach. I want to play." Coach, that's right. I've been called worse things in my life. We'll go with coach. But in order to be able to do the best that God has for us, in order to be able to walk out what he has, we have to be able to say no to things that are good, that are very good, but they're not the focus. They're not the call. They're not the best. And this is something that Kale and I have had to learn when it comes to foster care. You know, we've been foster parents for 6, 7 years. I don't know, a long time. I think we're on our 32nd kid or something like that. So we've been fostering for a while. And through that, we've come together and we've sought and we've prayed and we've really given thought to what kids can we minister to? What kids has God designed us to minister to? It's not all of them. We can't do that. You know, there's been a few times where we get a phone call and it's for a child that we know it's not going to be a good fit. But then you think, well, there's a need here and we need to meet this. We need to walk out what God has. And so we need to meet every need that we see. And you know who gets hurt in that situation? Well, that child gets hurt the most because he or she's in an environment that was not created for him. So it drains that child. It drains us. It drains our children. No one has joy in that situation. But when we seek, when we pray for, and when we have children come in that we know we were created for that child, and we were created for that one, I can't tell you the joy that fills the house. The joy that fills the family, the joy that fills that child of being in a place that God has made for them. And the secret to that, church, is realizing God's got it covered. God has it covered. He's going to meet the needs. He's going to meet every need. In fact, he is the solution for every need, is Jesus. He is going to meet every need here on earth. He hasn't created me to do that. I'm not him. And you know what? He hasn't created you to meet every need that you see either. He's created you to meet some. He's created you with a specific purpose in mind, but not to try to be the savior of everyone. You know how relieving it is to know that? To know that if I'm not able to act in this situation, God still got it covered. To know that I personally, I'd have the desire to support every missionary in the world as they go about spreading the gospel, but my bank account disagrees. And you know what? That's okay. Because God is supporting every missionary overseas that spreads the gospel. And so I can pray and I can say, "God, would you bless them? God, would you work within their lives? God, would you provide for them? God, would you do the things that only you can do? Because I can't. I'm walking out my little path that's right here." And so when we realize, when we are able to walk out our calling from God, and we're not trying to add to that, we're not trying to walk out somebody else's calling from God, oh, church, I can't tell you the joy that is there. Right. Can't describe it. It's far beyond anything you've ever imagined. And so we are designed, we are created with specific purpose in mind to meet specific needs. So here's the question, how do we discover that? How do we discover the purpose that God has for us to live out this life? You know, as you're hearing this message, I hope you don't hear me say it because I'm not saying this. I'm not saying, well, I don't feel called to anything, therefore, God just doesn't want me to serve. That's not it at all. I'm saying find the place that God has for you, or place is, maybe it's more than one, and walk it out with great joy and have so much fun serving and meeting the needs of others. And so how do we discover what God has for us? Well, we seek God. We seek input from Him through prayer. We seek God and we seek others as well while we pursue our calling. We listen. Listen to the wisdom of others. You know, people can speak into your life, trusted friends, people at work, people here at church. You know, if you're feeling, man, I feel called to preschool. That sounds like so much fun, but for some reason you can't stand kids, you're not called to preschool. I'm going to free you from that. Because that wouldn't bring you joy, and it wouldn't bring the kids joy. And so seek what other people can speak into your lives. Come up and ask the question. Say, hey, where's my seat on this bus? Is there something you see in me that I don't, that I can walk out? And while we're seeking that input from others, jump in. Jump into service with both feet. Have fun doing it. Because that's how you discover, you know what? I didn't think I would like this, but I have so much fun serving and ministering right here. You know, on a personal level, I can say this. My passion, my desire, my calling from God that I feel, what gives me so much joy is preaching, is teaching, doing small groups, doing Bible studies. Absolutely love it. I feel the presence of heaven when I'm at a desk with about 14 books surrounding me. It's amazing. Absolutely love it. But if I'm not up here, you know where I want to be? I want to be teaching 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. Never had so much fun in my life sitting and building blocks, and teaching the kids about Jesus, coloring in the pictures. It's amazing. And with that age group, if you ever run out of stuff to do, we've got blocks back there. You build them up. You tell them it's the wall of Jericho. You march around it. You knock it down. You can do that the whole time, and they'll love it. Every second of it. But I learned that. I just signed up to teach. Had the experience. That's how I learned that I really enjoyed working with preschoolers. Maybe that's how you can learn it too. You know, if that sounds interesting at all, jump in. See what's there. I can say this too. And this is going to sound like a shameless plug, and it is. We need preschool teachers. We need children's teachers. We need more people to be able to come in, to be able to minister, to greet people as they come in. If that's been something that's been swirling around in your mind, let me just confirm it. We need you. So if that's something at all that you might be interested just to check out and see what it's like, talk to Helen, talk to Julia. If you don't know who they are, come to me and I'll point you in the right direction after service. We need more people there. We need more small group leaders. You know, the small groups are so important to the church. Because it's like little mini churches that they gather. Many times they share a meal, but not always. But then there's a teaching, there's a fellowship, there's a time for people to say, this is where I'm struggling, I need prayer, would you help me? And those relationships that are formed there, when someone has an emergency or is in the hospital, they call their small group. Because that's a close-knit community. So if you're all thinking, maybe God's wanting me to lead a small group, I encourage you, talk to your small group leader. And if you're not in a small group, join one. The best way to see what that looks like is to be involved. I know many of them meet here after church on Sundays. Just walk in. I promise no one's going to look at you weird or kick you out. That doesn't work that way. They would love it for you just to come and check out the group. See what's there. You never know. You may be surprised. You may have thought going in, you know, this just isn't for me. This isn't my thing. But then after experiencing it, can't imagine doing anything else. Because there is a little joy compartment in your heart that got unleashed. And you had so much fun. That's my prayer for you. In fact, since we're talking about joy, well, I'm talking about joy. One of the greatest joys that I have is when I see someone, raise them up within the faith. Someone that believes in Jesus. They come to know Jesus. And then they start serving others. Because we learn so much about how God serves us, about how Jesus serves us as we serve other people. Now, I'm not, it might sound like it, I'm not trying to guilt trip anybody. You know, if you're in a place right now where maybe you're new to the faith, maybe you're still just trying to figure stuff out, that's okay. It's not like those who serve, those who teach are better than those who don't. It's not true at all. Don't hear any of that from me. Just simply hear this. One way to experience great joy in your walk with Jesus is to serve others in their walk as well. And as more and more and more of that happens, the church can't help but explode with growth. That's right. You know, let's look back at Acts chapter 6. In verse 7, we see the result of the apostles. Remember, they saw there's this great need, and they realized, I can't meet that need. And so they brought in these seven men to meet that need. What happened to the church? Verse 7 says, the word of God continued to increase. You know, as the apostles, as the leaders were able to focus on the ministry of the word, of course the word of God increases. It's a natural consequence. And as the word of God continued to increase, the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many priests became obedient to the faith. You know, as a church of people, realize, discover their own ways to walk out God's calling on their life, there's nothing that can stop that church. As we as a people, as individuals even, we discover, oh God, He has created me, He has designed me to serve here. And when the Holy Spirit's a part of that, when we say, come, Holy Spirit, would you lead us and direct us? We're going to find joy in just about any type of serving. Because the Holy Spirit's involved in all of it. You want to have joy vacuuming the floors? Have the Holy Spirit involved. You want to have joy mowing the yard? Invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of that. Want to have joy ministering in small group or teaching or working with youth or on and on and on, men's ministry, women's ministry, refit, whatever the case may be, invite the Holy Spirit to come and be a part of that. And He will fill you with great joy and with great purpose, church. You know, last week, if you were here, we were talking about these amazing truths about how when the Holy Spirit comes, He takes away all dishonesty. He takes away all falsehoods within us, and He leads us to truth. And if you remember, towards the end of the message, we had all these amazing verses from the Bible that showed the beautiful characteristics and attributes of God, and it reminded us of our identity in Christ. And it was this great message on these very high spiritual topics. You know, the Holy Spirit's involved in that just as much as He is involved in how we live our everyday lives. The Holy Spirit cares so much about where we spend our time and where we spend our money even, that He wants to be a part of all of it, church. And so if you're sitting here today and you're just feeling stuck, you're feeling drained, you're feeling what I'm giving my time to, it could be a job, it could be a hobby, it could be whatever case it may be, invite the Holy Spirit. Say, come, Holy Spirit. Where would you have me spend my time? How do I live that abundant life that Jesus has promised me? And you know, I can't help but think that as we're closing here, that there are some who are thinking, you know, I can't say, come, Holy Spirit. I can't seek God's will for my life. I've never sought God in the first place. How do I see what He has for me when I don't even know Him? How do I live everyday life with Jesus when I don't have Jesus at all? If that's you sitting here today, I don't want you to be burdened. I don't want you to think of all the different ways where you need to sign up and serve, any of that stuff. I want you to remember your first calling. It's to worship God. And worship, it's so much more than standing here the first part of the service and hearing the music and singing the songs. Worship, it is that. It is so much more than that. Worship is having an open heart that stands before God, just ready to receive. See, we worship when we realize that before Jesus, we were broken, messed up people. But because of Jesus, we get to live sinless lives because we are wrapped up in the Son. And so if that's you here today, if you've never, maybe you've never worshiped before, maybe you've never come to a place where you've said yes to Jesus, where you're able to say, you know, I've got nothing, but you've got it all, I want some of that. Give me some of that. If you've never come to a place where you've been united with Jesus, why not now? Right here, right now. You just simply say yes to Jesus. And so if that's you, I want you to pray with me. You can pray out loud or in your spirit, whatever you prefer. But if that's you, say this, Lord Jesus, I need you, God. I've tried living life on my own, and it just doesn't work. I've tried taking care of my own stuff, but it always leaves me drained. It always leaves me stuck. I never feel good enough. I never feel like I've done enough. But I see, Lord, you have done it all. You have made the way. You are the only one who can cleanse me. Who can take away my guilt, take away my shame, take away my sins. The stuff I've spent my whole life doing. You, Lord, can get rid of that. And instead, you can give me a holy life. A life that is connected with God, the Father. So say, come, Lord. Come into my life. Come fill my heart. Come, Holy Spirit. Because I choose today to receive what you have and to live for you. And church, I just want us to take a minute and in your own hearts, close your eyes and just focus on Jesus. If you've never come to a place where you said yes to Jesus, I encourage you. I plead with you. Do so. Take this time right now to do so. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus your entire life, but maybe you're feeling stuck or you're feeling drained. Say, Jesus, would you fill me again? Maybe you're trying to seek and say, Lord, what is it that you have designed me for? Say, Jesus, where's my seat on this bus? But just take a moment. Take a moment. Church, let's take a moment and let's remember our primary call from God. I want to encourage us. If you're able, would you stand? Let's worship together. Let's worship together right now. We're going to sing the I Believe from this morning. Ken, would you lead us?
I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in life eternal. Let's just sing it. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Today, can you say, I believe in Jesus Christ? I believe that He is Lord. Can we say that, church? I believe in Jesus because you are the way, Lord. You are the truth and you are the life. And so, Lord, we thank you that you have made the way in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you take us on this journey called life, that we get to come alongside of you and building the kingdom of God, that we get to come alongside the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and do your great work, O Lord, that you have created us to do. And so, Lord, would you show us, where's my seat on this bus, God? Would you show each and every person in here, where is it, Lord, that you have given us the passions and the giftings? Where can we match those up here in this life, God, to experience the abundant life, unparalleled joy that only comes from following you? We love you, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, speaking of those who serve in preschool and children, they only serve for a set period of time. So let's go get your kids, and we will see you next time.